Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe, joined here today by Gabriel.
I'm first.
And Robbie.
And second.
I forgot the plant. Darn it. Man, will you flip that on green. Also? We are a well-oiled machine over here, folks. Hmm. I was messing with some camera stuff, website stuff.
Distracted. Changed the lighting a little bit.
Changed the lighting a smidge. Skosh. I was inspired. I saw
I thought you had the overheads on. I was like, oh.
I know, like that thing.
Other one just
but it's nice, good, clean.
Bouncing off the ceiling.
Yeah, so we have the other aperture. We have two of these apertures. The other one is shining over there. I'll get a photo. I'll throw it in the video.
This lantern.
If you're listening to this, that's great. Appreciate it. But if you go over on YouTube, search the Chromecast podcast, you can watch the video. And it's fun. Try to throw in some fun little Easter eggs. Same show. We don't. Yeah. I've thought about doing trying to add more to the video to make it something
more
a little
enticing.
Little more unique.
It's not everyone's flavor, but that is the few videos that I watch. I love Twit, Leo Laporte, mm-hmm. what they do. They do a podcast for almost every show that they have. The podcasts are usually about an hour long or mm-hmm. so. The video for the podcast is over 2.5 hour long.
Oh, because they do that behind the scenes.
You talk about stuff. You get behind the scenes. Yeah. They don't cut out outtakes.
There's,
you know, they have to bleep a lot of stuff. But, I mean, they have a lot of guests all the time that come in remote. So there's always a lot of different stuff going on. It's really neat.
I was inspired by a different setup that I saw online and wanted to just experiment a little bit. We've got...
It looks good from here.
Yeah,
I don't know how it looks out there.
It's just a little bit...
More light,
a little bit
helps.
More fill light. You know, yeah. We don't have
not
fill.
Paul light. Is it Paul?
No.
Ain't in here.
No. This is Phil. This is Phil's lighting.
That's his name. It's his name over there.
Yeah,
that light. That's
that guy,
Phil.
That's Phil. We have names for everything.
Phil the
apparently.
Light. Phil light.
I don't know.
His last name.
Hey,
light.
We need to do a giveaway.
Lightfoot.
We haven't done a giveaway in a while, and we're coming up on 250,000 subscribers on the main YouTube channel.
Just the other day, I was like, we were talking about doing something with
the one company that's shipping something today. Ooh, a watch could
be
fun.
We were talking about with the
Samsung stuff.
Because the Galaxy,
that's what it was.
S23 comes, you can get a Galaxy watch.
You can just give one away or something.
But I think that's only Verizon if you buy through Samsung.
Yeah, we can just get one.
One of those 73,000 deals that they're offering right now.
So. Yeah,
there's zero excuse to not go out and get a flagship phone right now.
Yeah, these carriers want you to buy a new phone. we'll get to all the Samsung stuff here in a minute. But yeah, we need to do a giveaway. We're coming up on 250,000 subscribers. Yeah,
remind me and I will send an email.
Okay, cool. That's pretty insane.
Actually, I'll send two because there's always another one I can reach out mm-hmm. to.
Yeah, always.
Robbie and I learned
how to
email.
You know exactly what I'm talking
about. We learned how to email this week, so we're emailing.
They're email masters now.
Carbon copy
this
morning.
That's right. Uh-huh. I love it.
Finally, carbon copy or blind carbon copy?
Finally.
Carbon copy. Okay. So everybody could see
that's
he's
right.
on. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Yeah.
I like the blind carbon copy because it's all mysterious.
Email is not
our preferred method of communication. We don't send many emails. We don't email each other ever.
Most people would say email is a necessary evil. For me, email is a pseudo necessary evil. Like even if it's necessary, I'm like, I don't know.
It's obviously the way that we communicate with all of our reps and folks
any
email
of you
us
guys
here
are listening to this podcast right now, I apologize.
Yeah,
I also know that I'm terrible at email. I'd rather not be.
I'd rather not be.
But it is what it is.
Why does this guy send this? I see me being bad at email. I recognize it. I don't want to be this way.
Yeah,
but
there was a little Mulaney New in town there. If you catch that, kudos to you.
He's great. While we're talking about, I was trying to think of a segue, but I've got nothing. If you want a discount,
switching gears.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think of something. For a little while longer, if you want a discount on the new Pinoval USI 2.0 pen,
sweet pen,
very nice. It you can use O5 Unboxed on Amazon and get a. I'm not a twirl. I never figured out how to spin my sticks.
My coffee.
I never spun my sticks or anything. And
I always love that.
I spin my sticks.
Do it like the halftime.
Oh yeah.
There's a YouTube channel that my daughter watches, and that's all he does is like show you how to do. And he'll start out just like super slow, and then I mean he does some crazy. Like he does the quarters and the.
Yeah, I used to be able to do the quarters.
Yeah, I can't.
But I can't do that anymore.
Mine gets to hear. So many things you can do.
I know, right?
As a human, you just get to pick, and it's like I'm trying to learn German.
And it's weird, like when you become an adult, and you're like, I can just. Do whatever I want. Like I can just find stuff
like
that I want to go do.
I go do that, but I got to choose now which thing right. I'm going to do. So
that's my problem is I have all of my
Joe's
hobbies.
Ricochet rabbit. He wants to do all the things.
Like, I want
to
do it all.
Can't do it all, man.
You can't.
I mean, you try.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better in my.
You'll do all of it poorly.
Wisdom.
Is the problem?
That's
right.
The thing is, I used to be that guy. I was always something like jack of all trades, and I'm like,
master
I don't want to do
none,
it anymore.
Yeah.
I want to do one thing, and I want to do it well. I used to be
really, really jealous of people like that, like Josh Brown.
Yeah.
Like, his thing's music.
Mine was not musically that way. Mine was other stuff.
But that's the thing. Yeah. But Josh probably isn't very good at many other things.
No. Yeah. I mean, I went to high school with him. I remember going to his office one time when he was over at Valley Creek and walked into his office, and it looked like a music store. And I'm
you
play all of this? And he's like, yeah, everyone.
And he does.
And he gives lessons, and he's extremely talented.
And he can just pick up anything and play anything.
It's crazy.
You know, just like one of those crazy things. But that's his thing.
Yeah.
Like, and that is his thing, and you're going to live your life, and that's going to be your thing.
Right.
So I don't know that's what I want.
Yeah.
He's horrible at football.
I can pick up lots of stuff. I can be good at anything. I feel like
a little sampling of each.
Yeah. But then there's sometimes I'm like, I just want to be really good at that one. I can be really good at golf.
Yeah. That's me. I'm like, right now, that's where I'm at. I want to hit the golf ball well.
Yeah. It's like, I like doing things, and I feel like I have a tendency to go all in. Like, if I finally do decide that it's the thing I want to do, like disc golf year before.
Yeah, 2 years
ago. I kind of go all in.
Yeah.
I kind of go in the deep end. And
I had to fish him out and be like, you got to play ball golf.
I like having variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
More so screen golf. Yeah.
Anywho, if you want a pin oval pin.
You know, be so a jack of all trades.
So the 2.0 pin obviously is going to be compatible across any device right
all
now.
All USI enabled devices. Yes.
Yeah, so if you've got a Duet 3 and you don't have a 2.0 pin, you might have noticed that your, USI 1.0 pin will not work on that device.
And it won't be the last. There will be others.
So this is going to give you compatibility across, any USI compatible screen, and it's a good pin, and we like it a lot, and we partnered with Pinoval to get a exclusive discount code for our listeners, readers, watchers, all of you. Anybody who wants it.
Followers. Did you say followers?
Followers. Everybody. 05 Unboxed.
Fans.
Do it. 05 Friends. Unboxed. Let me
Not
clarify.
Oh, unboxed.
Yes,
zero.
It is.
So like you said, unvaxxed.
Unvaxxed.
05 Unvaxxed.
No, that would be strange.
That would be our promo code. Our promo code is a political agenda.
Statement.
Not us. Yes,
it is
Okay, let's dig into, since we mentioned Samsung, let's go ahead and dig into the Samsung event. So I liked your article this morning. I think we should talk through that a little bit.
I was
going
to put it out last night, and I was like, traffic was kind of weird last night.
Let the event get
writing Samsung stuff, so it's
just
kind
of... Wanted to give it... Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But new flagship phones.
That was the main thing. Yeah.
So I like the naming structure, just going with the year.
Simple. They've stuck with that keep since it. S21?
20, yeah.
Or S20.
Yeah, the 20 or 21.
Came, I think the Ultra came in 20. I think that's kind of when they rehashed. Because they'd done the 11, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Was there an 11? S11? Galaxy S11? Or was it go from 10 to 20? I can't remember now.
I think it went 10 to 20, I think.
So, anyway, at some point, they moved, and it just like lines up with the year. So it's like, hey, it's 2023. Yeah. S23. Very smart.
And I like it because I was writing the article yesterday on where you can get it and all the deals that are available. And, you're not sacrificing if you get just the 23. It's the same chip. You can get the same storage. Everything's the same. The only thing, the Ultra obviously gets you, the extra camera. And there's some advantages to the Ultra, but it's a different phone.
Yeah.
The screen's different. It's rounded. It's not. It's a different phone. But the 23 and the 23 Plus, nobody's going to get the 23 and be like, oh, I'm missing out. It's the exact same yep. thing. The only real big differentiator is that maybe I want the larger screen.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like maybe Google's moving this direction because Samsung has their A series, and there's a distinct separation between the two.
And that's what's Apple do now, too? They do iPhone, whatever plus SE or something.
They still do the SE maybe?
Yeah, that's their...
Because they don't do the
But
mini.
They only do that every 2 years.
Oh, yeah, they do
but
the...
their main line is the Pro iPhone... Whatever. What is it? Where are we on now? 13?
13.
iPhone sure, 13. Yeah. iPhone 13 Max. And then iPhone 13
Pro Max.
Pro. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I thought Ultra. They had four.
Yeah.
But their base model, though, isn't it, aren't they still doing the base model of the iPhone as a regurgitation of the year before?
I think this year they still did that. Yeah.
So, and the S23 isn't a huge iteration from the 22. It's mm-hmm. just slight improvements here and there, but you get the Gen 2 8C compute from Snapdragon. And
no, honest, that's it's the Snapdragon Gen 8.
Gen 8.
Snapdragon 8 Gen 2.
8 Gen 2. Yeah, I'm thinking Chromebook chips. Sorry. Yeah.
People go like, what? There's 8CX in there?
No. 8 Gen 2.
Yeah.
But
it's for Galaxy. So they overclocked it.
Yeah, it's overclocked. Yeah, so it's for Galaxy.
I heard Marquez mention that on the video when you were playing it yesterday. So I wasn't super paying attention. So yeah, did they
got an overclocked
version. It's literally
version.
Just overclocked.
A tiny little overclocked.
So they can put that for Galaxy on the end, which is cool. You know, Hiroshi was up there with them and right. Qualcomm and the guys from Samsung. Samsung went all in this time. There's no Exynos. How did the guy say it?
Exynos.
I don't think they're doing an Exynos. At all. It's Qualcomm across the board, which is unusual.
Some of the UK creators were talking about that, how cool that is.
Because that's a big differentiator in Europe, especially, because everybody's been sad. And what's funny is when I sold phones, it was the opposite. Exynos,
oh, really?
Exynos was ahead of what Qualcomm was doing. And it was like, oh, I wish we could get that Exynos chip over here. And so Qualcomm obviously has caught up and done their due diligence. And the cool part, too, is like because they're working so closely with Google and with Qualcomm, like, you can tell there's some, you know, dare I use the word synergy, that cringy word.
It's twice in a
but
week.
But it's true.
Twice in a week. Why? What's happening to him? He's turning into a corporate bro.
Wow.
Feeling some real synergy here. I'm going to be in a jacket next
you're
week.
You're going to have to add a second B to your name.
Yep.
Rob. Rob. Yeah.
I'm going to be Bob with two B's.
Oh, be Bob.
B-O-B-B.
Wow.
Just saying.
Yeah. Bobby's Tech Reviews is coming out soon.
Bobby's Thoughts. Bobby's Corner.
Bobby's World.
Oh, my gosh.
That's taken, sorry.
But, yeah, like there's this really cool thing going on where even when they were talking about games, for instance, like talking about how great these – I mean, they had a whole marketing thing around – my watch in my pocket. That's the dead tell that I've been hitting golf balls.
You want to borrow a real watch?
Just got a real watch, man. It's fine.
I love my watch.
I don't know. Just look at it. I mean, it's see, now you got to go. Now you got to go look. Watch.
But yeah, the cooperation that's happening with these, like when they were talking about games, they put up like this whole list of game developers that are all like on board with this particular chipset. And as much as we want to like champion. You know, the chips that Google's building, that's great. You know, there's still something to be said about what Qualcomm builds. Like,
absolutely.
There's still quite some ways ahead. Now, to me, it feels like, you know, you got companies like Google building their own stuff, but then you've got Qualcomm kind of way out here in the lead. And then I feel like Apple's kind of leapfrogged that in a little bit just because of their fully integrated, you know, systems. But when you take Qualcomm's chips and they really work closely with Samsung and Samsung's really working closely with Google with Android, you're getting closer to what Apple's doing with their M1, M2 chips, you know, by aligning hardware to make sure, like, it's not like Qualcomm's just off making the chip and just being like, man, we're gonna, you know, I don't know, we're going to add this.
Right.
And Samsung's like, well, I guess we'll integrate that into our phone because that's what used to happen. You know, Qualcomm or Intel, whoever, you know, would basically say, hey, this is the new thing that our chip does. And, you know,
deal with it.
Figure it out. Yeah. Take advantage or don't. We don't care. Yeah. This is what it does. And now it's more like Samsung is massive, obviously.
More of a collaborative approach.
Yeah.
I think.
So
yeah.
I'm sure Samsung and Qualcomm are having tons of meetings over the time and Google too, like mixed into all this, going, how can we move this whole thing forward? Because Samsung and Google are competitors in the hardware space, but at the same time, you know, Google is in the weird and precarious position of being not just a competitor, they're also a partner with Samsung. So it's right. a weird I spot. Mean,
owning Android and competing against Android devices, it's yeah. interesting. It's the reason why they don't mass market Chromebooks, because they own Chrome OS.
100%.
They have a spot in the Android space. It's just, it's a balancing act for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. And, you know, and like Tensor just takes that to a different spot, too. Because now it's like, now you're competing with Qualcomm, too, which, but you also want to be partners with Qualcomm because you need Android to work well. And
is it Qualcomm or Exynos?
It's Qualcomm.
The Tensor is?
No, Tensor was, yeah, it's a type of Exynos chip, basically. And maybe that's part of why Samsung's like, look, it's not working out well for us in this vein, trying to put it in our flagship phones. We've gotten to a point with Qualcomm that maybe it's causing some division and all this kind of stuff, and we can't keep up because we're doing washers and dryers and, you know, home automation and phones and tablets and PCs and da da da. We're doing everything else under the sun. We're not keeping up with innovation in the chip space. Qualcomm, obviously, that's all they do, and so they're pushing forward. Let's for our big stuff, let's go with that. And then where we were working with Exynos, we now have Google shipping products. I mean, yeah, Tensor is a custom Exynos chip, but it's an Exynos chip.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be part of that whole thing. But the whole point is, like, all of these things together, like working together, I think, you know, takes the reach of Samsung, which is undeniable. It's like something that we've kind of, I don't know, for me, it's been revelatory for me this week. Just realizing, like, as this event's coming up, we always tune into Samsung's events.
Yeah.
Even if there's nothing for us, like, it's in our lane. But I'm like, it is in our lane.
Yeah.
Because how many people that use a Chromebook, like, most people that use a Chromebook daily, like, it's a real deal thing, they're probably Android users. I mean, you can get away with using an iPhone with a Chromebook, but
and if they're an Android user, there's an 80% chance that they're a Samsung. Exactly. Honestly, and I mean, really, that's
and again, it's not to say every Chromebook user is an Android user, but you know, Android works better. Nearby Share, Phone Hub, blah blah blah. You know, all the things work better,
much
with
more
your,
integrated,
right, with your Chrome OS device. And so, but Samsung also is, you know, they're working closely with Microsoft to make Samsung phones work well on their Galaxy Book computers and do all that kind of stuff too. So I mean, They're integrating across different things. I'm not saying that, like, Samsung is somehow, like, super pro Chromebook. We'll talk about that.
That's a whole other conversation,
But, you know, Chrome OS and Android obviously work well together. And if you're talking about Android, like, Chrome OS, it's wide open. You know, like, you're a fan of HP stuff, cool, get an HP device. If you're a fan of Asus or Acer or Lenovo, you know, whatever. Like, pick your poison, you know, and decide on the Chromebook you want, go get it. But when it comes to Android, there's just no escaping the gravitational pull of Samsung, and specifically Galaxy as a brand. I mean, it's just since they started going after Apple for the Galaxy S2, I think it was. That's back S2, S3, S4 is when I was working in the phone industry. And it was like, man, they were, remember the Notch commercials and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And then making fun of people being in line and it, instead
they got
just,
me. I switched to the S4. That was my first
Android.
There
were people that looked at those ads, and it had reach that was so far beyond what any other Android maker was doing. Mm-hmm. And then they just kept doing it. Yep. Like, pedal to the metal. They've never stopped advertising heavily. And that's something I feel like they looked at Apple and were like, that's working for them. Let's do that.
Let's do a big keynote. let's advertise like crazy.
All year long, your devices. Like, don't stop. Like, Google, I feel like Google does this, and then a month or two in, like, I don't remember the last time I've seen a Pixel ad.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you think about, think about from a consumer's perspective, if you went out and asked 100 consumers, you know, what are the, they don't even call them keynotes, but, you know, the events that manufacturers do for phones, they're going to name Apple, and they're going to name Samsung. Yeah.
And maybe
nobody, but most people don't tune in to watch the latest ROG phone, you know, or
but
whatever.
Twitter and, you know, different news channels and stuff, people were talking about, hey, Samsung's got an event today. Like, it's a big deal. It's just a different paradigm that exists with Samsung and with Apple than does with any other phone manufacturer. To the point, I don't remember if it was you or it was Trisha or my wife.
Just compared me to his wife.
Yeah.
Somebody had said something.
I take that as a compliment.
You all are
favor each other.
The same in his brain, apparently.
Oh, well, there you go.
Somebody said, heck, it might have been you, I don't know. Somebody said, something to the point of like, I was talking to somebody the other day and blah, blah, blah. And they're asking, it was my wife. They're asking me, what kind of phone do you have? Is it an iPhone, a Samsung, or an Android?
Yeah.
That was how they phrased it. And yeah. I'm like, when I hear stuff like that, I used to, I'd be like, idiot. You know, and I'd get so like,
Samsung's created that.
Exactly. And I'm like, so now I listen to it and I'm like, okay, this is a general consumer's perspective of reality.
That shows you
what is going on here.
Right.
Ben?
That shows you how the market is led too, because 5 years ago and further, there was a lot of reason to feel that way. Samsung has always been Android, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But with their One UI and all that, was it Samsung One UI, whatever?
There's still One UI, but their deep integration
of their apps and their skins and all that stuff, Samsung on their phones felt completely different than Android. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore.
The Galaxy S3, 4,
I had the 3 5, and 4, yeah.
6 and 7, honestly, all of those. It was heavy because it was touch something. What was it called?
It was just touch UI, wasn't it?
No, something. There was something touch for a little while. It was something else when I was working in phones.
Hmm.
And now that once they got to One UI, it was like, hey, we're gonna chill out a little bit with this. It's still
got its own stuff.
It's its own thing.
For sure.
But it's a good own thing.
Yeah.
Like, used to.
It got bad there for a while.
It was such a mess. I mean, and they tried to integrate every stupid feature you could ever think of. And it was like...
Samsung was synonymous with bloatware, because when they first got back into the Chromebook market with the Pro and the Plus, and they were talking about different apps, and people got bent out of shape because they were assuming that Samsung's Chromebooks were going to come with... bloatware on them, and they're like, no, Google doesn't allow that. Yeah. You know, so.
And they've gotten so much better. It's not that they don't have their own apps. They don't have their own replacement stuff. Like, they're still probably going to ship the S23 with Samsung Messenger, but it supports RCS. So it's like, okay, well, it's not the worst case, and you can just disable it.
Now, didn't last year they talked about shipping with Google Messages?
Yeah, and they honestly should.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that like part of the keynote?
Yeah, I think last year.
And maybe they are. I don't know. I think that's like some of those things they should just move to that. Like, I don't know that they have their own email thing anymore. I think they just have Gmail on there.
They do have a browser. I don't know if it's...
I think they've got their own calendar, which I'm not completely against. Like, Google Calendar is more of a functional thing than a UI thing that you got to deal with. And Messages kind of is the same thing, too.
Sure.
It's going to support RCS and all that stuff. Like,
I don't care.
It doesn't really matter. I don't really care that much.
And so, you know, there's some of those things that are still, they're a little ham-fisted on. But, you know, at the same time, they're running a company. They're trying to create an ecosystem to make sure, like, I saw somebody was talking about they have some sort of nearby sharing thing. Samsung Quick Share or something like that.
No.
You know, whatever. HP ships some Chromebooks, and there's a web app for that kind of thing, too. And it's like, yeah, but there's nearby share already built in. I get you trying to do your own thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that's a knee-jerk reaction to, we're not sure that your thing's working yet. We'll put our developers on it. We'll put something out for our customers that we know will work for now, and that's fine, you know.
Because that came out with, like, the X2, I think, that HP sharing thing.
Yeah, the X211.
Yeah, and it's like, okay.
And it works. It's great, but I don't see any reason for it. Yeah. It's not necessary. And Samsung does some of that stuff sometimes, and then I feel like they forget about those things, and instead of pulling the reins back, they'll leave
just
it on
let
there.
It go.
So you have to wade through a little bit of that, but... At the end of the day, I mean, they do make fantastic phones. And the camera on the Ultra looks ridiculous. I mean, ridiculously good. Yeah, bend 200 megapixels main sensor, bend down to 50. So
just
you're getting every pixel is getting 4 pixels worth of light. And you can actually, you can bend it down to 48.5 or whatever megapixel. Or no, I'm sorry, into 12.5 megapixels as well. So they'll do a 16 pixel binning. It just lets in way, way, way more
light.
Two
optical zooms, which I wasn't even listening when they talked about that, but it has a 3X and a 10X optical on it.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So,
yeah, one's between, and it just smartly chooses which one's going to look better for this given scenario.
Yeah.
It's got double the OIS of any phone I think that's ever been on the market.
Oh, yeah.
So the amount that the camera can stay in place is pretty amazing. The zooming
video,
looks great. The video quality
video
looks.
Is looking really nice.
Really, really
and,
good.
Yeah,
4K.
What
are they doing?
They do 4K 60 across
can,
all front, and,
you can
front
do,
and rear.
You can do 8K.
Yeah, they'll do 8K 30.
Raw.
But it's more about
biggest
their,
file
the
ever captured on a phone.
Like the HDR stuff that they're doing is trying to catch up basically to what Apple's been doing. That's the magic of what Apple's done with their video is that they just really leverage HDR like crazy in video. And so it looks like Samsung's trying to get there. Some of the stuff that the entire presentation was captured on an Ultra.
Oh yeah, they had Ridley Scott and all that.
And like, so I get
two films coming out, and it's going to be obviously these are filmmakers making stuff, but like that Apple did the same thing in their keynote. You know,
I wonder if they used the built-in camera app for all of that, or if they used one of these other
like a pro camera
applications,
app
or if
I know for the camera part of the S23, I was watching a quick review. I think Danny Winget
just built-in.
He was going into there's a pro mode. The raw mode that even that's awesome. Even more fine-tuned detail. I don't know if you have that on the video though.
I'd love to get one. Test
we're
it
trying,
out.
We're trying.
It's like it's not like we're going to become. An Android outlet, like where that's
or
all we
Samsung
talk about, or a
outlet.
Samsung outlet. But when we took a step back and we were evaluating if we should cover this event and how we should cover it,
right.
It's like, wow, they are, you know, just the market share that they have is insane. And so, so many of our readers, listeners, everybody, our followers are likely using a Samsung device. So if we can be informed about it and help them make a good purchase decision, if we can give them, you know, ways to go buy it, reserve it, all this different stuff that we did, like I think it's valuable. Because
we can talk about how much we love Pixels all day, but if we can't relate and compare them intelligently to the other things, it's white noise to say, oh, you should go buy the Pixel because it's a Pixel. You
know? Okay, and it's not fair really to, you know, to say this, but the truth is, like, if we're going to talk about any other Android phones, Samsung's
they're the one.
And the rest of them, honestly, don't.
Is anyone else making Android one?
There's some.
Alltech.
And, you know, like overseas, there's all sorts of brands.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
There's like some cool brands. Like Huawei makes really cool stuff.
Xiaomi. Those Nubia phones. Yeah.
Vivo makes some cool stuff. But none of that stuff's here.
Yeah.
So we can't get our hands on that kind of stuff. And so in the States, you know, and I think that's just the market kind of getting to where it's going to get. Like that's where capitalism shines. The market gets to decide what people care about and what they don't.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, no one wants 50 Android makers.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted that.
Samsung won.
They won.
They won.
And Google could eventually get to the place where they're, you know, a happy third and doing their thing.
But it'll be a distant third.
It will. It'll always be that.
And that's
fine. As long as Samsung continues to push and do, they don't seem like they're slowing down at all. Like they're very... as a company, they could get to the point where they're just not pushing at all. But and honestly, if they didn't have their Fold and Flip phones, I'd be like, I don't know that they're pushing that hard. But those
they
phones
are innovating.
Are wild hardware innovations, just constantly pushing forward. And these other companies that are making folding phones are using all of their components.
Yeah,
like,
and until
they're
and
the
that's
ones
an, yeah.
building the core pieces that are needed to make these
if
things.
If you look at the car market, I mean, until something revolutionary comes along in the smartphone market, there probably won't be another big brand. Because like here in the United States, Kia and Hyundai are the only two that come to mind that are younger.
Yeah.
But you have the big automakers that we've had for 100 years, and that's it. There's not everything, you know, Saturn, all those others, they tried
and
they died, you know.
And that's just, I think that's capitalism doing its thing. And we're at the point where the market is basically said, look,
settled.
iPhone, fine. iPhone's going to have a huge chunk. And if we're going to have Android, there's going to be just one that we're going to just be like, cool. Like, I don't want iPhone. I want the other thing. Well, the other thing's Samsung.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I think we're going to talk about Samsung a little more. Because the other
thing,
too,
keep an eye on it, for sure.
Regardless of whether I want to daily drive a Samsung phone, I would like to, for a little bit, to really see how it works
with a
Chromebook. Right. Like,
or how does the watch work with?
Right. Is everything working with a Chromebook? Does my Pixel watch work this well? Because I know how well everything works with my Pixel phone. So now with a non-Pixel phone, how does it all go? You know, I would suspect it's going to go well.
But
to know would be kind of cool.
We'll know sooner rather than later. We're going to be getting this stuff.
I was going to say if it doesn't if we don't get one sent to us, then
we're going to
I got an upgrade to burn.
we're going to go.
That was kind of my point. Was that obviously with all these new flagships that come out, there's huge deals. You can get them for free. I can go to T-Mobile right now and I can add a line and get one for free or whatever. But I was impressed because even though this wasn't a massive iteration over the 22, it's an iteration. It has the latest chip. It's their flagship. It's going to be the best, at least spec-wise, smart Android phone out there. It's $1,200. You know, we were approaching a spot where we're like, oh, flagship phones are going to be $1,500, $1,600. Yeah. They've leveled off because you can buy a maxed out 7 Pro and you're at that same price.
Yeah,
right.
Know? I mean, you're not getting the Google camera, but still.
Yeah. Like, we haven't said anything. They didn't say anything about the S Pen. other than the fact that it's there.
Yeah.
So they've probably not added any features to that, which it's done. The S Pen on a Samsung phone, whether it's a Note or now the Ultra, has done so well. Like,
it doesn't need it.
What else are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Like, it's a pen.
Yeah,
like,
and we've become conditioned, nothing, but I mean, you know? to look at Samsung's best phone that they make and to say it's $1,200, I'm like, okay. It's not cheap, but I'm like, that's affordable. That's reasonable.
Well, and especially now with all these trade-ins and different things you can do. Yeah. They're incentivizing. It's not quite the old school subsidized method, but
it is.
It's the same stuff. Anywho, that's some Samsung event kind of wrap up. I do still want to maybe talk about your article quickly. We'll take a quick break for an ad and talk about that. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. So yeah, let's talk through your article you published this morning, because we've maybe talked about it on this show before.
We've talked about
recently.
Samsung's
absence
tracking.
Fill the folks in.
Yeah. So part of the event yesterday was also they did some. I missed the whole tablet section. Like, I guess I got distracted.
There was
a
tablet section?
Yeah, they talked about new tablets. I was like, how did I miss this?
They have a premium one, or was it like the... Oh, okay.
Kind of like, S... What's the next one?
Yeah, 9, 12, 7.
Whatever. I haven't watched it, because it's an Android tablet, so, you know, it's a thing. I don't know. But their laptops have been increasingly better every year.
Oh,
so now they have the Galaxy Book Pro, which they've had out. So they've got the Galaxy Book 3 Pro, I think is how they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Galaxy Book 3. And then so they got the Pro, and now they have the Ultra that they announced. So the Pros look sweet. They have convertibles and non-convertible versions. They have OLED screens. They're gorgeous laptops. But the Ultra definitely is toe-to-toe with, like, the MacBook Pro 16.
Oh, yeah.
It's, like, all aluminum, crazy slender, much better port selection. But, you know, it's got a... some sort of even better than normal AMOLED screen that has 120% colors.
Ultra AMOLED.
Right, how do you have 120% colors?
Let's put flex on it.
Will it flex?
Will it flex?
Is it fanless?
$2,000? Can't be. It's got a i7.
Because they do they're doing a 4050, 4070, 40.
No, it's a 4080.
80, yeah. Whew.
So it's a laptop 4080 GPU, so beast GPU.
It's got vapor chambers and all kinds of weird stuff.
All the specs. So 16 gigs of RAM, I think, and half terabyte storage is the start or whatever. But, you know, 16-inch, I think it's a quad HD or, I don't know, high-res OLED panel, massive trackpad. It's beautiful looking. Quad speaker setup. Studio quality mics. That's another nod to Apple there. So a bunch of features, and it was just one of those things. Like, I'm sitting there watching this, going, "Man, it's what a beautiful looking laptop this thing is." And there's a convertible version as well. And the more I'm sitting there watching it, the more I'm like, for a company as huge as Samsung is, like they have the capability to basically do anything, and that doesn't mean you should.
Right.
Like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, but you know, they have this broad ability to reach into all these different segments and be able to go from building washers and dryers to, you know, home efficiency stuff to refrigerators to phones and laptops and folding. Like, it's just, they can build whatever they want. And they'll look at them and see these laptops and go, God, those are just so good. Like, that looks like it would be fun to use, like, as a Windows device. Why is there no Chromebook? Like,
yeah, especially when the Galaxy, the original Galaxy, kind of overshadowed the Alpha and the Windows devices that they had at CES.
It was in that vein at the time. Like, that was one of the best laptops.
I remember seeing all three of them side by side and thinking,
it was the best one.
The Galaxy Chromebook is the better built device.
And so, I mean, they took a big
so
swing.
Then we got real excited.
Yeah, I mean,
you know the rest of that story. Yeah.
You know, they took this huge swing at CES 2020, and we knew it was going to be there, and we knew it was going to be nice, but it was like, it was one of those times where it was like, we expected it to be good, and it got there, and it felt like it was better than that. Like, the screen looked better than you expect. The build was thinner than you, which, you know, hindsight, it was probably too thin. probably part of the problem.
It didn't have vapor chambers.
But we're just
needed vapor chambers.
I mean, I was just gaga over this Chromebook, you know, and the only thing I had bad to say about it was that it was a 16:9 display. Like, that was it. That was the only knock I had, really, And we got it in, and you know, the battery life's terrible, and you know, the it overheats, and there was some like thatching on the OLED display because it wasn't an AMOLED, it wasn't their high end thing. Yeah. You know, if you want to get into the specifics, it's a Pentile Matrix display instead of a RGB pixel lineup, and so you can see on like really solid colors, lighter colors, you could almost
true OLED.
It looked like it was like thatch, cross-hatch. You know. So like I remember seeing that and just being like, I hate that. You know, and there are just all these little problems and the keyboard issues or trackpad issues, like build quality stuff. It was like, it became a device that at the MSRP, it was impossible to recommend. It's like, I can't tell anybody to go buy this thing.
And they're still selling it for that is what's crazy.
And still can't recommend it and still don't, you know, and so then you move on from that. 2021 comes along and we're hearing all these rumors of a Galaxy Chromebook 2, and I'm like, if all of the stuff that we found about this device is right, I don't know how this is going to work. And then it showed up, and it was exactly that. It was a QLED, which is like, wow, that's a first in a Chromebook. But if you put it in perspective, you made the Galaxy Chromebook, and then you made the Galaxy Chromebook 2, which means it's a successor. Like, it's the next in line. Well, QLED,
you kind of make some presumptions.
QLED is better than a standard LED screen, but it's a step down from OLED. Yeah. Everything's a step down from OLED. Yeah. So actually, it's a first for Chromebooks. Well, but it's worse.
Yeah, it's like Google did the Pixelbook Go. So with the Go, you expected it to be something
different,
not necessarily lesser, but different. Like, now, if they had said, "Hey, here's the Pixelbook 2," the expectation would have been there.
We would have done the exact same thing. Like, wait a second.
What are y'all doing?
This feels like a step back. Like, the screen's not as good. Anyway, and so, the screen wasn't as good. They took away the fingerprint scanner. They took away the stylus. They built the entire keyboard deck out of plastic, which I remember trying to get the stickers off that stupid thing. We had two of them and did the same thing. I was like, this is awful.
Left a mark.
Like, it looked like a huge oil stain, basically, on it. Just not a well thought out device, and it was the 2, and so it was this really confusing thing. We got it in. I wanted to really like it, and I still didn't. I rewatched our part of our review yesterday while I was writing this, just to see. I was like, I'm trying to remember. It wasn't good, and so that was 2021. So we've taken one big step backwards, and with a strange naming scheme. Next year, there is nothing at CES. So 2022, there's nothing. They didn't bring a Chromebook. They didn't announce a Chromebook. And somewhere in the midst of that, they had followed up the Chromebook 4 with the now called Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Go. The name Go would imply to me that it's something you would pick up and go. It's going to be smaller, lighter,
I don't know.
Thinner.
Was there like another device that was named like that and it was like that? You know, I don't know.
I don't know. I never heard of it. And so that's what the expectation was, and instead it's basically like the Samsung Galaxy or Chromebook 5. Like, it's low end processor, it was a Gemini Lake processor, TN panel, terrible screen, all plastic, 14 inch non convertible Chromebook. So
super,
what's Go about
super
that?
Go, that's a Go,
it's
device
bigger and it was bigger and heavier
go
than
away
both of the previous two.
go on now. Go to the next Chromebook,
right? So now you've got like, okay, well, why'd you name it that?
Don't know,
everybody else
doesn't match. The two didn't match,
very strange.
And then at some point before this year, it was mid last year or something, the Samsung Galaxy Chromebook 2 360 came out. And that's another huge misnomer, because we appended 360, which would seem to imply that the previous Galaxy Chromebooks were not 360.
But they were.
But they were 360. Right. The Galaxy Chromebook 2, not 360, is a 360 device. Now, you put 360 on the end of it. Well, how's it different? Well, actually, it's smaller. It's the smallest of these Galaxy Chromebooks. It should be the Go, right? It's the one that's probably a little more portable. But they stuck this really nice rounded corner quad HD IPS screen on it, which looks great.
That would have been a better go, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's a student Chromebook at the end of the day, but
it's so slow. The processor in it's so slow that it can't keep up with the quad HD resolution that it's running, so it's just painful to use. And so it's like you sit and look at this over time. It's not just that the Chromebooks have gotten worse. They've gotten worse in a very strange way. It's like almost on purpose or something.
And it's weird because...
And then you name them all strange.
It's were so excited when the first Galaxy came out because Galaxy is Samsung's
It was
namesake.
Like they're in. And, and Samsung doesn't just do stuff and then leave.
You can't go on their website right now and find Galaxy products that you're like, oh, that's cheap. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Samsung doesn't make some cheap... I mean, if you pick up a A-series phone, they're not... They don't feel like expensive phones, but...
Right.
They don't put Galaxy on stuff unless it's like, this is it. And it just keeps, like Robbie said, it's not like, oh, well, we had a bad one. It just kept getting worse. They've had three iterations of devices that have declined and gone backwards.
Straight Homer Simpson into the bushes.
Because when the 2360 came out last year, it was already two generations behind on the processor.
And it was the lowest end version of that processor with 4 gigs of RAM and 32
with a storage. Screen that had no business on a cheap device.
Like that, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. And I don't have an answer for it. I do know that, you know, Google is working with them. Can't really say anything more about that, but they're trying to figure out like, hey, how can we kind of let's get our groove back here. Yeah. Because can you imagine Samsung having built like one or two Windows laptops and just been like, we're going to start naming them weird stuff and putting trash in them. And let's see if that works. When has Samsung ever even done this with any of their products? That's just not their MO. Like, they have come out swinging with their phones and their laptops and their tablets. Their tablets are the perfect example. Like, their tablets get obliterated every single year by iPads. Every year. I bet it's probably 50-1 is what gets sold of iPads to a Samsung Galaxy whatever tab.
Because they're not cheap either.
No, they're just as expensive or more expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not nice. They're great. Yeah. They're gorgeous things. Yeah. But they're not like making a huge dent in the market, and yet Samsung keeps plowing away at this thing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, they're sold on the idea that a detachable style laptop with Android on it is a great idea. And
they're the market best option in a world of no options.
And even though the market has clearly told them, no, we don't want it, like, it's not going to work, you're not going to sell many of these things, just keep plodding away.
Lenovo's following suit, though, is what's weird. I mean, Lenovo's always made a tablet every year it's a decent,
they're always middling,
it's a kid level tablet, but nice hardware and, you know, for general stuff. But this Ultra that they put out, I mean,
it's like
they're taking a swing, but that's like taking a swing after making middling tablets. Like, Samsung shows up every year and puts like
the max
big things in those big tablets, and I'm just like, I don't understand how you can do that with that. You can do it with your laptops. You clearly do it with your phones.
Couldn't figure it out. Like, why?
I get that you missed on the first big Chromebook you made. Yeah. I get it. Like, you did the Plus and the Pro, and those had a lot of hype to them.
Learn from it, though.
And then you came out swinging with the Galaxy Chromebook, and you screwed it up. Like, you did. Like, it wasn't great. But yet, you're Samsung. Like, just to make it better next year. Like, why the absolute retreat? Yeah, that's exactly what they've done. Yeah, every
like,
year,
are you all? Is there anything in the repository?
No,
like,
not one Samsung Chromebook.
Unless they've started masking their stuff, and it doesn't feel like that's a good
one. I don't think so. From the conversations that we've had that we can't really talk about, there's not a whole lot going on yet. There's want for it to happen, and I can tell you, there's a lot of consumer want for it. Every time anything Samsung comes out, it doesn't even matter if it's a bad Chromebook, like. Our unboxing of the Galaxy Chromebook is still one of our number one videos ever on YouTube. It's got millions of views. It's just an unboxing of a Chromebook, but it had Samsung in the name. It had Galaxy in the name. And there's just a different level, like what we were talking about earlier in the podcast. Like, they own a certain bit of mind share in consumers' brains about this stuff. And so just all of this got me thinking, like, is there ever a reality? Is there ever a situation where we see a Galaxy Chromebook Ultra? Like, what a great name, by the way. Mm-hmm. Samsung Galaxy Chromebook Ultra. Is there ever a time where we see that kind of hardware attempt in a Chromebook? And some things have to change, obviously, before that happens. We're not even close to that. It's not like, oh, I think maybe. Yeah. No.
I just finished that article based on our poll last week.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. That's exactly. Because I haven't read your article yet, but I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, it. The thing is, like, we need the HP Dragonfly Pro to do really well.
Yes.
So, for whatever reason, you know, Samsung wasn't invested in Chrome OS enough to continue getting burned. They took their swing, they got burned pretty bad, and clearly have tucked their tail and ran away. And so, like, what entices them to get back into it? Like, are they... Because it's even weirder that they don't have a very regular pattern of releases for, like, low-end Chromebooks. Like, if that's where you're going to be, that's low-hanging fruit, probably right. A lot easier for you to get in and out of.
Yeah, and Q1 every year, drops them out, and yeah, schools and buy them up, and you're done.
Get those, and you put some in Best Buy, and, you know, sell a $300 Chromebook that's okay. You know, they haven't even been regular about that. And so it's like, I feel like when they do go back into it again, like full force, like they probably would want to come back with something nice. Like, I don't know that they really want their name on junky Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like that makes a lot of sense with Samsung. And so I could see them eventually entering the market again and doing this. But I feel like a lot of it's going to ride on how the HP is received.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not whether or not I believe the HP is going to be a great Chromebook. It has nothing to do with it. Because it could be the best Chromebook ever made.
Yeah.
Period. We could use it for a little bit of time around here and say, crowned, new king. This is the best, my most favorite Chromebook ever. And I'm trying not to put too much hype on it, but I really do think it's going to be kind of in that vein.
Yeah.
But none of that matters if the consumer public isn't fully ready
right.
to drop whatever HP. I don't know what HP is going to charge for it. But
and
if
that, yeah, and that's what ready our, for that, yeah, like, our poll. The poll will be the article will be out before this is out. But yeah. Our poll has 60% of users are saying $799 max.
Not think it's realistic.
Not greatly surprised. Don't think it's going to be $799. 20% of users are up to $999,
yeah,
and 11%, which is probably all of our friends, are over $1,000. Then there's some people right. in the comments are like, "Where's the option for I wouldn't buy this?" And I'm like, yeah.
I'm like "Okay." We're asking if you go right. to buy this.
Right. The option is move along.
Right.
And I'm not saying that anyone is ignorant, because that's not the case. It's just the general mindset around Chromebooks. The general consumer has an idea that Chromebooks should cost X amount of money,
sure.
And even if they're premium, there's no value presented in buying a $1,000 Chromebook. They don't understand what the value is.
Sure.
HP's trying to change that. They're doing the whole prosumer thing where it's like, people want the best you can buy. They don't want to have to make any, you know, weighted decisions. They just want to go out and say, I want a premium laptop, and it's got everything that I need. And I know that no matter what I do, it's going to handle what I do. And right. that's what the HP is going to offer. And like Robbie said, the success of the HP and any other devices that come this year are going to heavily weight that price range of the market, because yeah, it's 100%. Clear that we're not average consumers, and most people aren't going out saying, I got to go find me a new Chromebook today. Probably going to spend about $1,000. It's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, right. it's just not normal. But you know, Google has told us clearly that one of the focuses this year, you know, when we were at the Android booth at CES, you know, that one of the focuses this year with Chrome OS is the idea that it becomes more of a thing that people can use all the time.
Right.
And so I've adapted, you've adapted to daily Chromebook use. Like, that's just, I don't even think about it anymore. It's not weird at all to me to not own a
it's
Windows.
It's only weird when I try to work on a Windows device.
Right.
Seriously.
Like, I use Windows for my golf simulator stuff. You know,
yeah.
Like the software side of things. That's it. And so, apart from that, I don't yeah. mess with Windows. And so it's not weird for me to go, okay, this is my operating system of choice. It does all the things I need it to do. Now I want hardware that reflects that. That's not a big deal. It's just that's not normal.
Right.
You know, what we do isn't normal. And so it's not normalized at all.
Yeah.
And so people attribute value to what I can get done. So
even if they're not ever going to do the thing that the thing is capable of, it's just the idea that they can do it. Yeah.
And right. so one of the key things that Google wants to address this year, and we'll see how it plays out, is, you know, making sure that Chrome OS can fill those gaps. And it's the first time I've heard anyone from Google ever say that to me, that they care about that. Cause you got to think Chrome OS started from a you know, cloud computing. We want to do something different. We want to, you know, approach computing from this different thing. The web is all there is and all that stuff. And I'm still that guy. I love anything that can be done on the web. I want to do it on the web. But the reality is there are still some tasks that require a digital application that just aren't well suited for the web. Right. Video editing is one of them, obviously. Yeah. Audio editing is probably one of those things too.
Yeah.
You know, it ends up being creative tasks. And that's the trouble. A lot of people want to fancy themselves as creators.
Right.
They want to think, I could be, you know, I might be, you know, I want to. But even if you're not a creator, you know, more and more people, as access grows to these simple platforms.
Yeah. Riverside.
Short form video, you know, these very simple things that general people are going to actually start making video. And they're like, I need to make some cuts on that. Is there a simple app I can use on to do that? Well, there is on Chromebook, you know, but sometimes they're not always presented that well. And so now all of a sudden you've got LumaFusion. So as LumaFusion starts to become something that, you know, like we still have yet to run proper tests to go, okay, workflow, what's it look like to use LumaFusion? But, you know, and LumaFusion's probably a little more complex than what most people would need, but there need to be clear-cut options built into Chrome OS. Like, and those things are on the way. We know that the video editor in Google Photos is right around the corner. When those types of things come out and people can do that kind of stuff, yeah. You know, we've heard Google mention stuff about audio, some on-device audio editing, you know, it doesn't have to be crazy.
No.
Just some basic stuff where I can lay out some tracks and kind of fix some things and put it together to make a video for my reunion or a video for this funeral or a video for an after wedding. These big life things that happen in everyone's lives that someone gets saddled with. Can you put together a thing for that such and such? And if you're the guy with the Chromebook, but you happen to be the guy that has the ability to do that kind of stuff, and you can't do it on your Chromebook, guess what? Value proposition just went way down.
Yep.
And so you don't have to be a creator. You don't have to be a YouTuber. You don't have to be a filmmaker. You don't have to be a recording professional to want some of those tools. And Chrome OS should get better at those things.
Right.
So if that happens, the HP gets received pretty well. I could see middle, end of the year, the HP being this kind of beacon. And clearly Google worked very hard with HP on this device that says, okay, we've put these tools in place. We have cloud gaming, but we also have Steam gaming. You've got all kinds of video editors in the cloud, but you also have local video editors, simple and complex. You got stuff that you can edit your audio on, and Google Photos now works really well to do some basic editing, but you can also get some of Adobe's things or a couple other different, whatever. There's tools available now. There's tools available to you to do this. A Chromebook can achieve all of the end results you need to achieve. At that point, then the consumer shifts and starts to go, okay, I can see the perceived value in this device. And then it takes even more time after that for that to start permeating through more people. And so it's not going to be one in a month.
Right.
But this is the first time Google, I feel like they're focusing, like we're ready to now push people in this way and start educating the consumers that this stuff can't be done on a Chromebook.
And that's the thing, and I'm sure that they've thought of this, but that feels like there's a huge untapped market there as far as, not creators, but like influencers. Most of your TikTok, Instagram, not people that are producing, you know, full-blown videos, stuff.
Right.
All these short-form video people, they're not going out and saying, oh, I'm going to have to get a $3,000 Mac to create short-form video. Most of the stuff's created right in the app, but a lot of people create, or they're creating content for their stores or their websites and this and that, whatever. If Chrome OS can do that, the Google Photos video editor and things like that, what's the other, Capwing does really good vertical video. If those tools are readily available and they're good, that's a huge market. Because like I said, most social media creators don't need a MacBook to create content. They just don't.
And again, it does come down to, even if it's there in Chrome OS, just like you were saying, there's a good chance most people won't even ever use it.
Right.
But they want to know that they can't.
But if you're going to go spend $1,000 on a Galaxy Chromebook Ultra.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing. You're not going to get, the market share is pushing upwards. So the fact that the majority of people are okay with a high-end Chromebook still costing $800, that would not have been true a few years ago.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
We're moving in that direction without really having a beacon device. Like, we don't have a lighthouse device at the top because you can't count enterprise devices. They're impossible to get, and they're priced way out of the range. So, you know, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, when's the last time we had like a quality high-end Chromebook? It's the Pixel Books. That's all it's ever been. And then the Galaxy Chromebook was it. And it was too early. It just, the market wasn't ready for that. They were like, cool, that's nice. But think about 3 years ago, how much more inferior Chrome OS was compared to what it can
do
now.
And not blaming Samsung entirely, but if the Galaxy had not had its issues, we could be a little further down the road. The HP, people would probably be clamoring a little more for the HP. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, if it would have shown up and delivered what was promised, it would have been great. But you know, the problems with it were too fundamental. It was just too, like, 3.5 hour battery life. Just that's too fundamental
for anything.
So you all feel like there's a lot riding on the Dragonfly.
Yeah,
I do
a little bit.
You know, unfortunately, but I think Google knows that too, and I think HP knows that too. I don't. They wouldn't have got together and done this. Like the Dragonfly Elite was 100% for enterprise. They wanted
it was hard to get.
And they worked together pretty closely on it too, because they really wanted to put something together. But it was definitely aimed at enterprise customers. They wanted,
it's the only place you can buy it is from HP, isn't it? Yeah,
it never showed up at a Best Buy or Amazon or whatever.
It's a shame, because like an $800 version of that device would have been awesome.
And every time that it showed up and there was a big price slash on HP and all that stuff, like when the couple times it went on sale for like seven something.
Yeah.
People bought it up.
Absolutely.
And so people do want, there is a desire in a portion of the market for a higher end Chromebook, for sure. I think everyone's leery to go pay that much money for it until it proves itself that it can do these types of things. And part of that's on the Dragonfly Pro to prove that out. It needs to be the solid base that all this stuff can get built on.
Right.
And I do think in that way it's a successor to the Pixelbook Go and the Pixelbook. Like it's going to fill that place. And
I feel like the fact that they've been super tight-lipped about the pricing, they are not revealing that, and they are working so closely with Google. I feel like hopefully they're planning for a big marketing push when this thing comes out. Whatever that
booth
looks
at
like.
CES didn't make me feel great about that, but
that's just pep.
It's just
that's
early.
And HP just doesn't.
They don't do.
They
the
don't
big
invest
setups.
In CES. Yeah, but I mean, they're doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. They're just talking to our people at HP about this device. There is just
different. Feels like a different vibe.
There's a different level of care now.
That's Asus.
There's just
different
it's just
energy.
Different. Yeah, there's a different something.
Yeah, that for
they,
sure.
They, I feel like more like with the Dragonfly, I felt like it was still, even though I was like, hey, you get this high end device, this thing's great. Like, I felt like I was still pulling teeth a little bit. Like, can you tell us more? Like, where is it? Where can people buy it? And when is it going to be available to consumers? And it was like, at some point to 25. And look at that there. It's a cup of coffee. Yeah, cool.
Right.
It has a haptic trackpad. Right.
This is not that at all.
This is for consumers. It's one SKU, and this is how it's going to be, and it's going to be available in consumer channels, and we want it prosumers. And they're clearly ready to try this. And the only thing that makes me scared about that is that I feel like that's what we weren't behind the scenes near as much at the time. But it feels like what Samsung was kind of like, let's go, let's do it. Yeah. And they did, and it just kind of crapped.
Like the market has matured. I feel like hopefully, hopefully it's time. You know,
the market needs it. And I remember, way back talking with someone at HP. This would have been prior to the Dragonfly. This is prior to the C1030. This is prior to the 14C. So this has been probably 4 or 5 years ago. It was right around the time I think that what was it called? The HP, is it just the Chromebook 13? The one that was a thin, it was one of
the
final videos that
I did. Yeah, it was the 13.
I remember filming it myself. It was before you started filming it right in here. And I remember talking to somebody at HP about that device and just talking to them in general about higher end Chromebooks. And they were just like, we're trying to figure out a strategy towards that and that kind of stuff. And you know, these big companies, you realize it's not a 9-month thing. When they start talking about like strategies to get the market to a place where they can make those kind of Chromebooks, I feel like we're just now seeing that conversation happen.
3 to 5 years.
And it's been years since then.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, okay, we feel like it's ready.
Yeah.
Let's try. And it is a try. I hope.
Yeah.
If it's good, don't get me wrong, it's got to be good. But as long as it's good,
and
we'll trumpet it.
And
like
Google
we're
obviously
tell people.
Right, and Google obviously working so closely with manufacturers, like we know that. And and they're working with HP, and they probably know all of this that we're talking about. Like, this has been probably in a lot of meetings, right. And they know also that Samsung wants to put out that next generation device. So it's like they probably really took the time with the Dragonfly, I hope, to really make sure that it's right, because they know that if this thing works, then Samsung, who wants to put out that device, could maybe start working on it. Right, so it's like, you know, all of these pieces have to fall together, and obviously there's a lot of very smart and talented folks working on this stuff that know more about it than us. But it's like, you know, I feel like if this thing works, it could be cool. It could be great for the market, and it could be great for Samsung to maybe get back in it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Sure. But folks, I think that's it for this week. We appreciate you all tuning in to this episode of Samsung Unboxed.
Hey, we talked a lot about HP.
We did.
To be talking about a Samsung laptop, we talked a lot about HP here. We are very excited about that, Chrome.
Yeah, cannot wait. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. But we appreciate you all tuning in and listening and watching. If you are watching over on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up if you like this. Go down there, click subscribe if you haven't already. You should. If you've watched it, if you've made it this long,
yeah,
just go subscribe. Just go click it.
Yeah.
And ring the notification bell. I can't. Ring that notification bell.
Horribly inappropriate.
It's okay.
You might have to blur that
notification.
It didn't sound like it. Hey, every time you subscribe,
just
a puppy gets saved.
Yeah, that's right. But if you click the notification bell, you get an alert when we put out future episodes. All right, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next time. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.